Well, hi.
Morning.
It's gonna take a while. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That's so official. Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, good. If I was gonna be here a little longer, we could get this going. It's nice to see you, nice to meet you. A couple words of explanation. First of all, you're having the weeping prophet with you this morning. So when I got saved, I just really got a dose of it. So from time to time, I drift off in tears over something that the Lord has brought special attention to me on or something. But I come back. I always come back. So just, you know, have patience. So the other thing is they tell me I tend to be long-winded. Some people tell me that. And they've told me, I don't think it's true, but they've told me that there's a trap door back here. And somebody has a pickle, you know, and when the clock strikes 12, or ding, and I'm gone. Anyway, it's really good to be with you. So let's start with a little bit of prayer, okay? Father, bless your word now. You've left this for us, for building us up, working on your construction project in each of us, making us more and more like your Son each day. And so we pray, Lord, that you would do your very best work here this morning. Don't let me get in the way. Don't let me harm or take anything from it. Just use it in each life that's gathered here as you want it done. So we commit it to you for your good and for your glory, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Turn, if you would, to John chapter 4. I'm going to start just about at the beginning there, but just as a kind of a lead-in to this. You don't have a clock.
No.
Oh. We may stay here. I have a watch. It doesn't keep good time. We go till 12. Give me 10 minutes. I'll pedal fast. Just as a little background, the Lord Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he comes across two young men, Andrew and Simon, his brother. And he says to them, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And they followed him. And they "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." And they did, and he did. And he goes a little farther, and he comes across a little family, and they're sitting in their boat, as they do in the Mediterranean, if you've ever been there. They net fish at night because the fish come up to the top. And then during the daytime, they sit at the quay and mend their nets and clean them and so forth. And here's old man Zebedee and his two boys, and they're cleaning their nets. And the Lord Jesus says, "Follow me." And John and James leave the boat and leave the net and leave their father and follow him. And then back in John chapter 4, where we're going, the Lord Jesus, in verse 3, leaves Judea and departs again into Galilee. And verse 2, I just love, "And he must needs go through Samaria." The Jews would cross the river rather than go through Samaria. Samaria was a collection of half-breeds. They were not real Jews, like the real Jews. And they housed the Roman garrison, and it just, the Jews didn't like them. They were not friendly to them. And they'd walk in north or walk in south, they'd cross the river, go on the other side, rather than walking through Samaria. And the Lord says that he needs go through Samaria. He had a mission. He told Simon and Andrew and James and John, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And he's going fishing. He's going fishing. And the fish are really biting up in Samaria. And he knows that because he knows everything. He's God in human body. And so, verse 5, then cometh he to a city in Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. You can debate over what time that is. I think that's noon. It's the heat of the day. The women who do the well work, they go to the well, they draw water, they have a line, a skin that they'd fill. And these different kinds of wells, but this one was a dug well and would have stairs going down into it, and the ladies would come and go down the stairs and fill their skin of water for the day, or a couple skins maybe, whatever their family needed, and bring it home. It was ladies' work. And the ladies who were ladies would go early in the morning or later in the evening when it was cool. You can imagine, that was just good thinking. But there was a lady who was not a lady. The other ladies didn't think much of her because she was a lady of ill repute. And she wasn't a favored lady. She didn't walk as the ladies should walk or did walk. And so she wasn't, I believe, made very welcome at the normal watering time. And so we find her out in the heat of the day to get her water. All alone. All alone. No fun doing much alone. And she goes to the well. And Jesus goes to the well. And she meets a man. And he meets a woman. And he knows that the good women of town would not be out here in the heat of the day. Besides that, he's God and he knows what's going on in her life. Verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith to her, got any water? You know, if you're going to go fishing, you need to go to where fish are. Right? And he just happens to know that there's at least one fish who's ready to bite, and she's going to be at a well in the heat of the day. And so he goes to the well in the heat of the day, where no other self-respecting Jew would go, and just happens to meet a woman at the well. And asks her, you got any water? Well, that's what she came there for, isn't it? See, when you go fishing, you gotta, number one, you gotta go, we're gonna be looking at the topic this morning is followers of Jesus, friends of sinners. That's why God left us here. Followers of Jesus, friends of sinners. And he just happens to go to the water through Samaria, where no self-respecting Jew would go, and just happens to meet a lady in the heat of the day to get some water. And so the other thing you got to do, you got to go where the fish are, number one. And you got to use the right bait, the right lure, right? You can't, you know, hang a Krispy Kreme donut. Do you have Krispy, do you know about Krispy Kreme? And the vast majority said, they're a little ashamed to admit it, but. You got to go where the fish are, and you got to have the right bait, the right lure. You got to know what the fish are biting on, right? Jesus is just good at that. But remember, he's teaching the disciples how to fish. Not for fish, but how to fish for men. And so they're following him. They're going through Samaria with him. Not liking it, probably. Probably mumbling, you know. And they meet this woman. And Jesus saith unto her, verse 7, give me to drink. Give me to drink. Now, why didn't the disciples give it to him? Well, the disciples were gone away into the sandwich, into the city. The preacher joke is they went into the city to get a ham sandwich. You know? Think about it, Jesus. They were more interested in filling their own bellies than some dumb woman, and not too stupid to not come out here in the middle of the day, heat of the sun, and they don't really care. What they're caring about is their belly. Brown, speak to yourself, right? There's a lot of times I know places I should go and people I should go meet and go after, and I could just be too busy about my own stuff to do that. And then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, well, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no, you could underline that, no dealings with the Samaritans. These are impure people. They don't get talked to. They don't get, much less share a cup of water with a Samaritan. Woman. The women were worse than the men. Jesus answered and said to her, he's wiggling the worm, right? He's wiggling the worm. Jesus said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that saith thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him and he would give you living water. Now, living water in the Middle East is water that's moving, like from a little stream or a river. And a well, this well particularly, but most wells, were down, and you climb downstairs, and it doesn't move because the wind can't get to it, and there's no current in it, it's just a well. And if you wanted living water, you'd have to seek it out. If you knew the gift of God, you wouldn't be asking me. And he said, if you knew who was asking you, you'd ask me, and I'd give you living water. And the woman saith unto him, verse 11, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? How are you going to get water? You don't have anything to even drink the water you get from me, much less get living water. How are you going to get it? You got nothing to bring it up with. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drink thereof of himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of the water, this water, shall thirst again. What's the next word? Okay, I'll do it again. Keep up. This is fast, man. Okay, verse 13. Follow along. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water, the meaning the well here, is going to thirst again. What's the next word? But if you carry a little red pencil, like I do, like this, a little red and blue, all the butts will be circled or colored in. Because it's like, I had a terrible back pain. I couldn't even get out of bed this morning, but it went away and here I am. Right? It's the other side of the coin, or it's the rest of the story. Paul Harvey, the great Christian radio announcer person, used to have a program called The Rest of the Story, and he'd tell this story on his program, and you'd have the story figured out. You'd kind of, I know where this is going, and then he'd go to station break. And then he'd come back after the station break, and he'd say, and now, the rest of the story, and it would be completely different ending than you thought. And you'd go, you know, when am I going to figure this out? That's the but. That's the but. Or it's like the rest of the story. It's the other side of the coin. So watch the buts. And also watch the ifs, because they're saying, if, you know, there's a condition. Anyway. Okay. So, we're moving. Whosoever drinks this water, the well water here, is going to thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be as a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He's talking about the Holy Spirit here. And he's got that available for her. And he's wiggling the worm. Right? You go here every day. You catch the bad looks and the snide remarks and all of this of the other ladies, and you go every day and you're sick and tired of it, and then you climb down those stairs and you get your water and you climb back up and go back home, and you're just going to have to do it again tomorrow. I'm telling you what, he says, I've got water that you can, if you had the water that I've got for you, you'd never thirst again. And also, P.S., you'll be so different. All those looks and comments and stuff you put up with it, probably go away. And those people will want what you've got. He didn't say that, but that's the behind the scenes. The woman saith unto him, verse 15, Sir, give me that water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Please, give it to me. Jesus saith unto her, Oh boy, he's quit preaching and he started meddling now. Jesus saith unto her, Well, before I do that, go and call your husband to have him come here. He's working to see if there's any conviction here. The woman said to him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, Thou hast well said, thou have no husband, because you got five of them, you've had five of them, and the one you got now you're not married to, you're just shacking up. Can you imagine her? Here's a stranger in town, and the stranger knows what's going on. She's had five husbands, and the one she's shacking up with now isn't her husband. How do you know that about me? This is worse than the ladies. I didn't come up here to get this. I came up here just to get a little water. Well, you see, to get the living water, you got to face your sin, don't you? Right? Jesus just increased the size of the lure. A little curiosity. Found something common with her that he could speak to her about. The woman answered, verse 17, said, I have no husband. Jesus said, you as well said, you have no husband, because you've had five husbands, and him who thou hast now is not your husband. In that sayest thou truly. And the woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Really? What gave you a clue? And she talks about, she shifts the topic to show that she's not a spiritual dummy. She knows some things. She knows about where they worshipped and all of that. And let's see. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, verse 21. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place to worship. She's shifting the topic, right? Trying to get the topic off of her onto something so she can appear spiritual. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem. Worship the Father. You worship you know not what. We worship. We know what we worship for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And that hour is coming. We just did that a little bit earlier, didn't we?
Amen.
God's a spirit, and they who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. A lot of spirit these days. I'm not sure what spirit it is, but you can go from church to church and see lots of different spirited activities. But you notice it doesn't just say in spirit, but in spirit and in truth. Truth comes from this book, right? So the things we do, we need to check against the book.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The woman said to him, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he comes, he'll tell us all things. She's getting there, right? She's nibbling on the bait, right? Jesus saith to him, to her, I that speak unto thee am he. That's about as clear a testimony that he's the Messiah. And upon this came the disciples with their ham sandwiches. Right? Upon this came the disciples, and they marveled that he talked with the woman. Guys, we said I was going to teach you to be a fisher of men, and the only thing you're interested in is going and getting a ham sandwich. And while you're over getting the food, I'm over here fishing. And look at this one. This is a whopper. You go fishing, you got to concentrate on fishing. Fishermen usually don't even talk much because your vibrations of your voice can carry through the boat. Go down in the water, and it's like hunting. You don't talk while you're hunting. Right? They marveled that he was talking to this woman. Yet no man said, why speakest thou? They're afraid to ask. They knew they should have been there with him. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and saith to the men, listen, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. She didn't have to go through any classes on witnessing. She didn't have to go through any tutoring. Didn't have to go through any disciples. She just took what she knew and went and told other people. That's us. In verse 39, and many of the Samaritans came to the city, came believing to him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all things ever I did. And even more came when they talked to him. It was a breakthrough in the gospel. I'll tell you a true story. I'm right on time. This is going to take a couple minutes. If you see anybody, go for a pickle, grab his hand. Several years ago, it's a true story. Several years ago, in Knoxville, Tennessee, in the U.S., a semi-retired businessman taught several Bible classes each week. 2 in the daytime, 3 at night. The ones who attended the daytime classes were mostly women. There was one very well-dressed woman who came to his daytime classes, about 30 or 35 years old, and said to him, "I wish that you'd please pray for my husband. He doesn't know the Lord." That's like the woman going to the men of the city, isn't it? "I wish you'd pray for my husband. He doesn't know the Lord." "Sister," he said, "oh, I'd be glad to pray for your husband. Tell me, what's his name?" And she told him, "Well, sister, what does your husband do?" "Oh," she said, I'd rather not tell you that, but I guess I can if you promise to keep it absolutely confidential. My husband's the head of the mafia in East Tennessee." "Oh, sister, don't worry. That's not a great problem for my Lord. Let me ask you another question. Does he have any hobbies?" She said, "I hate telling you his hobby even more than telling you what he does. But if you must know, he shoots rats out in the city dump. And he goes so often that they've given him his own key. So he's been known to go out there in a full moon and just spend the whole night sitting in the dump shooting rats." That very day, the Bible teacher went to the hardware store and bought a shotgun, 5 boxes of shells, went out to the dump, spent his evenings learning how to shoot rats. After a while, he met a man. And he spent the evenings with his new friend, shooting rats in the dump. Until one evening, when he had the chance to introduce his new friend to his old friend, the Lord Jesus. And his new friend came to Christ, shooting rats out in the dump. That mafia boss is head grew to become a preacher in Eastern Kentucky and shared the gospel with a lot of people, gave his testimony to a lot of people. Now, you may not want to shoot rats, but you can maybe play football or do crafts or have a Bible story time, or lots of other little activities that can be the worm that can be wiggled to draw attention to the fish that are out there, that then you can share the love of the Lord Jesus with. That's why he left us here. Right? Now, you don't have to just drop everything and go witnessing, but just in your sphere of friends, people that you know, have them over for coffee, especially if they're Americans, or tea, or a sweet treat, or come over and see a good video that you found, right? Or come over and just have a cup of tea and talk. And you know your friends, and some of them have got problems in their lives. Now, you and I, typically, we can't see past the outside of the front door. And people can have a really nice front door, and behind that front door, things are just falling apart. But you can't find that out until you become a real friend. And so these things that we can do become bridges that we can build with friends. And in the process of making friendships, we can share the gospel of what the Lord's done in your own life and what he can do in their life. Being a friend of sinners, following Jesus, and becoming a friend of sinners. May God bless you in your efforts in that. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, who would go anywhere to save a soul. In fact, he'd go up a hill one day and hang on a cross to save me, to save each of us. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my life in the cleft of the rock and covers me there with his hand. Bless us, Father, we pray. And we thank you for your lovely Son and for our time together. Thank you for putting us in each other's lives for a little time. Bless our day. We thank you for the food that's upcoming, for the hands that prepared it, the place that we've eat it, and just give us a good blessing and fellowship today, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.